శ్రీమద్భాగవతం క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 71 ద లార్డ్ ట్రావెల్స్ టు ఇంద్రప్రస్థ. దిస్ చాప్టర్ రిలేట్స్ హౌ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఫాలోడ్ ఉద్ధవ్స్ అడ్వైస్ అండ్ వెంట్ టు ఇంద్రప్రస్థ వేర్ ద పాండవర్స్ సెలబ్రేటెడ్ హిస్ అరైవల్ విత్ గ్రేట్ ఫెస్టివిటీ. వైజ్ ఉద్ధవ్, నోయింగ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణస్ ఇన్నర్ డిజైర్, అడ్వైజ్ ద లార్డ్ యాజ్ ఫాలోస్. కోట్: బై కాంకరింగ్ ఆల్ డైరెక్షన్స్ అండ్ దెన్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ ద రాజస్వీయ సాక్రిఫైస్, King Yudhishthir will fulfill all his purposes, defeating Jarasandh, protecting those who have taken shelter of you, and executing the Rajasya Yajna. Thus the Yadavas' powerful enemy will be destroyed, and the imprisoned kings freed, and both deeds will glorify you. King Jarasandh can be killed only by Bhima, and since Jarasandh is very devoted to the Brahmins, Bhima should disguise himself as a Brahmin, go to Jarasandh and beg a fight from him. Then in your presence, Bhima will defeat the demon. Unquote. Narad Muni, the Yadav elders and Lord Krishna all praised Uddhav's plan, and Lord Krishna proceeded to mount his chariot and head for Indraprastha, followed by his devoted queens. Soon Lord Krishna arrived in that city. Hearing of Lord's arrival, King Yudhishthir immediately came out of the city to greet him. Yudhishthir repeatedly embraced Lord Krishna, losing external consciousness in his ecstasy. Then Bhimsen, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev and others each embraced or bowed down to him as was appropriate. After Lord Krishna had properly greeted everyone, he entered the city as a fanfare of many musical instruments played and reverential hymns were chanted. The women of the city scattered flowers down from the rooftops, remarking on the extreme good fortune of the Lord's queens. Shri Krishna entered the royal palace and offered respects to Queen Kunti Devi, who embraced her nephew, and Draupadi and Subhadra offered obeisances to the Lord. Kunti Devi then requested Draupadi to worship Lord Krishna's wives. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, gratified King Yudhishthir by remaining there for some months. During this stay, he enjoyed strolling here and there. He would drive on chariots with Arjun, followed by many warriors and soldiers. Text 1. Shukdev Goswami said, having thus heard the statements of Devarshi Narad and understanding the opinions of both the assembly and Lord Krishna, the great-minded Uddhav began to speak. Text 2. Shri Uddhav said, O Lord, as the sage advised, you should help your cousin fulfill his plan for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice, and you should also protect the kings who are begging for your shelter. Purport: Devarshi Narad wanted Lord Krishna to go to Indraprastha and help his cousin Yudhishthir perform the Rajasya sacrifice. At the same time, the members of the royal assembly strongly desired that he defeat Jarasandh and rescue the kings he was holding prisoner. The great-minded Uddhav could understand that Lord Krishna desired to do both things, and thus he intelligently advised how both these purposes could be simultaneously accomplished. Text 3. Only one who has conquered all opponents in every direction can perform the Rajasya sacrifice, O Almighty One. Thus, in my opinion, conquering Jarasandh will serve both purposes. Purport: Shri Uddhav here explains that only one who has conquered all directions is entitled to perform the Rajasya sacrifice. Therefore, Lord Krishna should immediately accept the invitation to participate in the sacrifice, but then he should arrange to kill Jarasandh as a necessary prerequisite. In this way, the king's request for protection would be fulfilled automatically. If the Lord would thus adhere to a single policy, namely, seeing that the Rajasya sacrifice was performed properly, all purposes would be fulfilled. According to Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of Lord Krishna's qualities is chatura, clever, which means that he can perform various types of work at the same time. Thus, the Lord could certainly have solved the dilemma of how to simultaneously satisfy King Yudhishthir's desire to perform the Rajasya sacrifice and the imprisoned king's desire for freedom, but Krishna wanted to give his dear devotee Uddhav the credit for the solution, and thus he pretended to be perplexed. Text 4. By this decision there will be great gain for us, and you will save the kings. Thus, Govinda, you will be glorified. Text 5. The invincible king Jarasandha is as strong as 10,000 elephants. Indeed, other powerful warriors cannot defeat him. Only Bhima is equal to him in strength. Purport. Shridhar Swami explains that the Yadavas were extremely eager to kill Jarasandha, and thus to caution them, Sri Uddhav spoke this verse. Jarasandha's death could come only at the hand of Bhima. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that Uddhav had previously deduced this from the Jyoti Raga and other astrological scriptures he had learned from his teacher Brihaspati. Text 6. He will be defeated in a match of single chariots, not when he is with his 100 military divisions. Now Jarasandha is so devoted to Brahminical culture that he never refuses requests from Brahmins. Purport. It might be argued that since only Bhima could equal Jarasandha in personal strength, Jarasandha would be more powerful when supported by his huge army. Therefore, Uddhav here recommends single combat. But how could Jarasandha be persuaded to give us the support of his powerful army? Here Uddhav gives the clue. Jarasandha will never refuse a request from Brahmins since he is devoted to Brahminical culture. Text 7. Bhima should go to him disguised as a Brahmin and beg charity. Thus he will obtain single combat with Jarasandha, and in your presence Bhima will no doubt kill him. Purport. The idea is that Bhima should beg as charity a one-to-one fight with Jarasandha. Text 8. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva act only as your instruments in cosmic creation and annihilation, which are ultimately done by you, the Supreme Lord, in your invisible aspect of time. Purport. Uddhav here explains that in fact Lord Krishna himself will cause the death of Jarasandha, and Bhima will merely be the instrument. The Supreme Lord, through his invisible potency of time, creates and annihilates the entire cosmic situation, whereas great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are merely the instruments of the Lord's will. Therefore, Bhima will have no difficulty acting as the Lord's instrument to kill the powerful Jarasandha. In this way, by the Lord's arrangement, his devotee Bhima will be glorified. Text 9. In their homes, the godly wives of the imprisoned kings sing of your noble deeds, about how you will kill their husband's enemy and deliver them. The gopis also sing your glories, how you killed the enemy of the elephant king Gajendra, the enemy of Sita, daughter of Janak, and the enemies of your own parents as well. So also do the sages who have obtained your shelter glorify you, as do we ourselves. Purport. Great sages and devotees had informed the grief-stricken wives of the imprisoned kings that Lord Krishna would arrange for the killing of Jarasandha and would thus save them from their crisis. These godly women would thus sing the glories of the Lord at home, and when their children would cry for their fathers, their mothers would tell them, "Child, do not cry, Shri Krishna will save your father." In fact, the Lord has saved many devotees in the past, as described here. Text 10. O Krishna, the killing of Jarasandha, which is certainly a reaction of his past sins, will bring immense benefit. Indeed, it will make possible the sacrificial ceremony you desire. Purport. Shridhar Swami explains that the word Bhuri Artha, immense benefit, signifies that with the death of Jarasandha, it will become easy to kill the demon Shishupal and to realize other objectives. The great commentator Shridhar Swami further explains that the term Paka indicates that the kings will be saved as a result of their piety, and that the term Vipakena indicates that Jarasandha will die as a result of his wickedness. In either case, the plan Uddhav has proposed is most favorable for the execution of the great Rajasuya sacrifice desired by both the Lord and his pure devotees, the Pandavas, headed by King Yudhishthir. Text 11. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Devarshi Narad, the Yadu elders, and Lord Krishna all welcomed Uddhav's proposal, which was entirely auspicious and infallible. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the term Achyutam indicates that Uddhav's proposal was fortified by logical reasoning. Furthermore, Shukdev Goswami specifically indicates by the term Yadu Vruddhaha that it was the senior members, not the junior ones, who welcomed the proposal. Young princes such as Aniruddha did not like Uddhava's proposal since they were eager to fight Jarasandha's army immediately. Text 12. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, begged his superiors for permission to leave. Then he ordered his servants, headed by Daruka and Jaitra, to prepare for departure. Purpose. The superiors mentioned here are personalities such as Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father. Text 13. O slayer of enemies, after he had arranged for the departure of his wives, children and baggage and taken leave of Lord Sankarsan and King Ugrasen, Lord Krishna mounted his chariot which had been brought by his driver. It flew a flag marked with the emblem of Garuda. Purport. Having accepted Uddhava's proposal, Lord Krishna first proceeded with his wives, family and entourage to the royal city of Indraprastha, the capital of the Pandavas. The rest of this chapter describes Lord Krishna's journey to that city and how he was received there by his loving devotees. In Indraprastha, Lord Krishna explained to the Pandavas his plan to first kill Jarasandha and then perform the Rajasuya sacrifice. And with their full agreement, he proceeded with Bhimasen to settle accounts with the wicked king. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Lord Krishna's wives had also been invited to the Rajasuya sacrifice and were eager to go. The description of the colorful royal procession begins with the following verse. Text 14. As the vibrations resounding from mridangas, bheris, kettle drums, conch shells and gomukhas filled the sky in all directions, Lord Krishna set out on his journey. He was accompanied by the chief officers of his corps of chariots, elephants, infantry and cavalry, and surrounded on all sides by his fierce personal guard. Text 15. Lord Achyuta's faithful wives along with their children followed the Lord on golden palanquins carried by powerful men. The queens were adorned with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant oils and flower garlands, and they were surrounded on all sides by soldiers carrying swords and shields in their hands. Purport. According to Sridhar Swami, the word Vaji indicates that some of Lord Krishna's queens were transported by horse-drawn conveyances. Text 16. On all sides proceeded finely adorned women, attendants of the royal household, as well as courtesans. They rode on palanquins and camels, bulls and buffalo, donkeys, mules, bullock carts and elephants. Their conveyances were fully loaded with grass tents, blankets, clothes and other items for the trip. Purport. Shri Vishnu Chakrati explains that the household attendants mentioned here included washerwomen and other helpers. Text 17. The Lord's army boasted royal umbrellas, chamara fans and huge flagpoles with waving banners. During the day, the sun's rays reflected brightly from the soldiers' fine weapons, jewelry, helmets and armor. Thus, Lord Krishna's army, noisy with shouts and clatter, appeared like an ocean stirring with agitated waves and the mingle of fish. Text 18. Honored by Sri Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, Narada Muni bowed down to the Lord. All of Narada's senses were satisfied by his meeting with Lord Krishna. Thus, having heard the decision of the Lord and having been worshipped by him, Narada blessed him firmly within his heart and departed through the sky. Text 19. With pleasing words, the Lord addressed the messenger sent by the kings. Quote, "My dear messenger, I wish all good fortune to you. I shall arrange for the killing of King Magadha. Do not fear." Unquote. Purport. The statement "Ma Bhaishta," do not fear, is in the plural, being intended for both the messenger and the kings. Similarly, the expression "Bhadram Vaha," blessings unto you, is also in the plural, expressing a similar intent. Text 20. Thus addressed, the messenger departed and accurately relayed the Lord's message to the kings. Eager for freedom, They then waited expectantly for their meeting with Lord Krishna. Purport. The great Vaishnava scholar Srila Jiva Goswami comments here that by force of circumstances, the kings began focusing their attention on Lord Krishna alone. Text 21. As he travelled through the provinces of Anartha, Savir, Marudesha and Vinashana, Lord Hari crossed rivers and passed mountains, cities, villages, cow pastures and quarries. Text 22. After crossing the rivers Drushadwati and Saraswati, he passed through Panchal and Matsya and finally came to Indraprastha. Text 23. King Yudhishthir was delighted to hear that the Lord, whom human beings rarely see, had now arrived. Accompanied by his priests and dear associates, the king came out to meet Lord Krishna. Text 24. As songs and musical instruments resounded, along with the loud vibration of Vedic hymns, the king went forth with great reverence to meet Lord Rishikesh, just as the senses go forth to meet the consciousness of life. Purport. Lord Krishna is here described as Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, and King Yudhishthir's rushing to the Lord is compared to the senses eagerly joining the consciousness of life. Without consciousness, the senses are useless. Indeed, the senses function through consciousness. Similarly, when the individual souls are bereft of Krishna consciousness, love of God, they enter into a useless and illusory struggle called material existence. Pure devotees like King Yudhishthir are never bereft of the Lord's association, for they keep Him always within their heart, and yet they feel special ecstasy when they see the Lord after long separation, as described here. Text 25. The heart of King Yudhishthir melted with affection when he saw his dearmost friend, Lord Krishna, after such a long separation, and he embraced the Lord again and again. Text 26. The eternal form of Lord Krishna is the everlasting residence of the Goddess of Fortune. As soon as King Yudhishthir embraced him, the king became free of all the contamination of material existence. He immediately felt transcendental bliss and merged in an ocean of happiness. There were tears in his eyes and his body shook due to ecstasy. He completely forgot that he was living in this material world. Purport. The above translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna. Text 27. Then Bhima, his eyes brimming with tears, laughed with joy as he embraced his maternal cousin, Krishna. Arjun and the twins, Nakula and Sahadev, also joyfully embraced their dearmost friend, the infallible Lord, and they cried profusely. Text 28. After Arjun had embraced him once more, and Nakula and Sahadev had offered him their obeisances, Lord Krishna bowed down to the Brahmanas and the elders present, thus properly honoring the respectable members of the Kuru, Srunjay and Kaikaya clans. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami mentions that since Arjun was considered Lord Krishna's social equal, when Arjun tried to bow down to him, Lord Krishna held Arjun by his arms so that he could only embrace him. The twins, however, being junior cousins, bowed down and grasped Lord Krishna's feet. Text 29. Sutas, Magadhas, Gandharvas, Vandis, gestures and Brahmans all glorified the lotus-eyed Lord, some reciting prayers, some dancing and singing as mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, veenas, panavas and gomukhas resounded. Text 30. Thus surrounded by his well-wishing relatives and praised on all sides, Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of the justly renowned, entered the decorated city. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, while Lord Krishna was entering the city, all the people were talking among themselves about the glories of the Lord, praising his transcendental name, quality, form, etc. Text 31 and 32. The roads of Indraprastha were sprinkled with water perfumed by the liquid from elephants' foreheads, and colorful flags, golden gateways, and full water pots enhanced the city's splendor. Men and young girls were beautifully arrayed in fine new garments, adorned with flower garlands and ornaments, and anointed with aromatic sandalwood paste. Every home displayed glowing lamps and respectful offerings, and from the holes of the latticed
Windows drifted incense, further beautifying the city. Banners waved and the roofs were decorated with golden domes on broad silver bases. Thus Lord Krishna saw the royal city of the king of the Kurus. Purport. Srila Prabhupada adds in this connection, quote, Lord Krishna thus entered the city of the Pandavas, enjoyed the beautiful atmosphere and slowly proceeded ahead. Unquote. Text 33. When the young women of the city heard that Lord Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure for human eyes, had arrived, they hurriedly went onto the royal road to see him. They abandoned their household duties and even left their husbands in bed, and in their eagerness, the knots of their hair and garments came loose. Text 34. The royal road being quite crowded with elephants, horses, chariots, and foot soldiers, the women climbed to the top of their houses, where they caught sight of Lord Krishna and his queens. The city ladies scattered flowers upon the Lord, embraced him in their minds, and expressed their heartfelt welcome with broadly smiling glances. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami comments that the ladies communicated through their affectionate glances their eager inquiries as to the comfort of Lord Krishna's trip and so on. In other words, in their ecstasy, they intensely desired to serve the Lord. Text 35. Observing Lord Mukunda's wives passing on the road like stars accompanying the moon, the women exclaimed, quote, what have these ladies done so that the best of men bestows upon their eyes the joy of his generous smiles and playful sidelong glances? Unquote. Text 36. In various places, citizens of the city came forward holding auspicious offerings for Lord Krishna, and sinless leaders of occupational guilds came forward to worship the Lord. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, while Lord Krishna was thus passing on the road, at intervals some of the opulent citizens who were all rich, respectable and freed from sinful activities presented auspicious articles to the Lord just to offer him a reception to the city. Thus they worshipped him as humble servitors. Unquote. Text 37. With wide open eyes, the members of the royal household came forward in a flurry to lovingly greet Lord Mukunda, and thus the Lord entered the royal palace. Text 38. When Queen Prutha saw her nephew Krishna, the master of the three worlds, her heart became filled with love. Rising from her couch with her daughter-in-law, she embraced the Lord. Purport. Queen Kunti's daughter-in-law is the famous Draupadi. Text 39. King Yudhishthir respectfully brought Lord Govinda, the supreme god of gods, to his personal quarters. The king was so overcome with joy that he could not remember all the rituals of worship. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, as he brought Krishna within the palace, King Yudhishthir became so confused in his jubilation that he practically forgot what he was to do at that time in order to receive Krishna and worship him properly. Unquote. Text 40. Lord Krishna bowed down to his aunt and the wives of his elders, O king, and then Draupadi and the Lord's sister bowed down to him. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, quote, Lord Krishna delightfully offered his respectful obeisances to Kunti and other elderly ladies of the palace. His younger sister Subhadra was also standing there with Draupadi, and both offered their respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Unquote. Text 41 and 42. Encouraged by her mother-in-law, Draupadi worshipped all of Lord Krishna's wives, including Rukmini, Satyabhama, Bhadra, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, the descendant of Shibi, the chaste Nagnajiti, and the other queens of the Lord who were present. Draupadi honored them all with such gifts as clothing, flower garlands, and jewelry. Text 43. King Yudhishthir arranged for Krishna's rest and saw to it that all who came along with him, namely his queens, soldiers, ministers, and secretaries, were comfortably situated. He arranged that they would experience a new feature of reception every day while staying as guests of the Pandavas. Purport. This translation is taken from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna. Text 44 and 45. Desiring to please King Yudhishthir, the Lord resided at Indraprastha for several months. During his stay, he and Arjun satisfied the fire god by offering him the Khandav forest, and they saved Mayadanav, who then built King Yudhishthir a celestial assembly house hall. The lord also took the opportunity to go riding in his chariot in the company of Arjun, surrounded by a retinue of soldiers. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, quote, "It was during this time that Lord Sri Krishna, with the help of Arjun, for the satisfaction of the fire god Agni, allowed Agni to devour the Khandav forest. During the forest fire, Krishna saved the demon Mayasur, who was hiding in the forest. Upon being saved, Mayasur felt obliged to the Pandavas and Lord Krishna, and he constructed a wonderful assembly house within the city of Hastinapur. In this way, Lord Krishna, in order to please King Yudhishthir, remained in the city of Hastinapur for several months. During his stay, he enjoyed strolling here and there. He used to drive on chariots along with Arjun, and many warriors and soldiers used to follow them." Unquote. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 71st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled, "The Lord Travels to Indraprastha."